Welcome to another installment of Fighting for the Faith. My name is Chris Roseborough. I am your servant in Jesus Christ. This is the channel that compares what people are saying in the name of God to the Word of God. So, have you seen the roundtable discussion between Jim Osman, Justin Peters, Dr. Michael Brown, and Sam Storms? If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It is available for you to view on American Gospel TV, AGTV. We'll put a link to it down below. And the reason why we're going to be referencing this as well as a couple of other things today is I want to take on the false standard that Remnant Radio, Sam Storms, Michael Brown use when it comes to judging false prophets. And of course, they don't ever call them false prophets. That's the problem. And the reason being is because the standard that they are using is less than the actual biblical standard. And so we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to use a real false prophecy as a means of like showing what the problem is. So buckle up, grab a pen and paper. This for some of you, this will be kind of well-traveled material because we cover this from time to time. But just watch how we're applying this and pay close attention to the less than biblical standard that these folks have. So let's do this. Let's whirl up the desktop and let me pull up my web browser. And we're going to start with Miller here from Remnant Radio. And Remnant Radio, back at the end of 2023, they put together three episodes of testing the prophecies for 2024. And the thing that is notable in their reviewing of the 2024 prophecies is that not one single person ever got called by them a false prophet. Not one. Not even Kat Kerr was called a false prophet. She was called somebody who's maybe not mentally well, but she was not called a false prophet. Miller here in one of those episodes makes it clear that he believes in false prophets, but according to him, a false prophet is one who leads us into idolatry. And I would note that that is not the biblical standard. In fact, I'm going to point this out. If you know anybody that says, well, in order for somebody to be a false prophet, they have to teach idolatry, that's not what the scripture says. So let me show you what I mean. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? So false prophets don't have to come to us and say, let's worship Shiva and Vishnu. No, false prophets come to us in the name of Jesus, and they are still false prophets. You get the idea here. So that's not the standard. So at least he recognizes that the Bible does put a standard up regarding idolatry. If somebody comes to you and their prophecy comes true, that's see Deuteronomy 13 here, and their prophecy comes true, and they tell you to go after a false gods, then you don't follow them. Okay, at least the Remnant Radio guys and Michael Brown and Sam Storms all recognize that as true. But the thing is that is practically the only way in which they're willing to call somebody a false prophet. But Jesus makes it clear that false prophets will come to him on the last day, on the day of judgment, and say, did we not prophesy in your name? Which means false prophets come to us dressed in sheep's clothing. They come to us in the name of Jesus, and they don't teach rank idolatry. Not all false prophets do that, okay? But here's the interesting thing that I want to highlight here, because this will actually kind of work then into the whole theme of our episode today. And that is that after reviewing Sean Bowles's 2024 prophecy, Miller here says something really bizarre. And I mean as bizarre as it gets. And I'll explain why this is bizarre here in a second. So he's not buying Sean Bowles' 2024 prophecy. He doesn't think that this is a prophecy. He doesn't think that this is a word from God. And the reason why he doesn't think it's a word from God is because of its vagaries and its non-specificness. But listen to what he says. Here we go.
I feel the same way. A lot of general words that makes it really hard to say, hey, this is God and this is not God. You know, this is something Jack always taught us when it came to prophesying. Don't prophesy vagaries. It's only going to cause people to despise prophecy. Swing for the fence.
Quick editor's note. Michael Miller is specifically referring to Jack Deere. He's an influential voice in the charismatic movement who is known for once being a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary.
Don't prophesy vagaries because it'll cause people to despise prophecy. When you prophesy, swing for the fence. What? So we got a problem here, and this will key into it, is that the Remnant Radio guys, and you'll see this with Sam Storms and Michael Brown, all put the human being as a part, you know, playing some kind of a functional role when it comes to prophecy. And it so much so that when you receive a prophecy from the Holy Spirit, you can make a decision as to whether or not the prophecy will be vague or the prophecy will be specific. But the scripture says something different, okay? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says this, "No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Listen again. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So we got a problem here, and that is that this will play into this, like I said. Their standard regarding prophecy, and he wasn't even willing here to call Sean Bowles a false prophet, or to say that this was a false prophecy. It was just vague. It was substandard. They were weighing it and found it wanting. That's kind of and the problem was that Sean Bowles didn't swing for the fence. Well, all right, let's use this as an example, shall we? Okay, last year, Jim Baker gave a prophecy, and I will give you the date when this was posted on YouTube. It was posted on YouTube on April 23rd, 2020. So the words that you are going to hear from Jim Baker, the prophecy that he is giving, and it's a thus saith the Lord prophecy, God told me this was going to happen, is specific. And the year that it's supposed to happen is also specific. The year is not 2024, this year. The year is last year, 2023. Again, this was posted on YouTube on April 13th, 2023. Let's listen to the prophecy. Here we go.
But I do know this. Coming to America this year, we're going to have, God said to me, there will be.
So God said to me, so in this year, the year is 2023, not 2024 when he gave this. Listen again.
We're going to have, God said to me, there will be terrorism in America, and he called it a terrorism hell.
So in 2023, God told Jim Baker that there would be terrorism hell in the United States. Does anyone recall terrorism hell in the United States from April to December of 2023? Does anyone remember terrorism hell?
Is coming to America. Terrorists. New York City is going to have terrorism like it's never had before.
All right, New York City. God told Jim Baker in 2023, New York City would have terrorism like it's never had before.
And even in New York, God said there's diseases going to hit New York City.
Diseases in 2023 are going to hit New York City.
And some of it will come even from the rats.
And some of these diseases from rats, all in 2023, did that happen? No. So I would note that Jim Baker swung for the fence, right? So what are we to do with Jim Baker? Is Jim Baker a false prophet? The answer is yes, he is. And this is going to be where we're going to put in the biblical standard. Okay, so charismatics like the Remnant Radio guys and Dr. Michael Brown and others love to go to 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 20 and 21. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast to what is good. And so when the Remnant Radio guys do their annual prophecy roundup and you know, they say, well, we're doing what the scriptures say. But here's the issue. They're not. Because when it comes to biblical hermeneutics, clear passages govern unclear passages. And as you might think this is a clear passage, it's not. It says to test everything, but it doesn't tell you what the standard is. It doesn't tell you what you're testing for. The clearer text is 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Note, both verses are talking about the same thing. But 1 John 4:1 is telling you what you're testing for. And if the person is not speaking from God, because God has to be the source in order for it to be a true prophecy, then the person is a false prophet. Again, hear the test. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. So by the way, do not believe every spirit. The me pistuata, that's an imperative. That's a command from God the Holy Spirit. Do not believe every spirit. God commands you not to believe every spirit, but to test dokimazeta, again, another imperative. You are required by God to test everything, all the spirits, to see, and what are you testing for, to see whether they are from God. That's the standard. But these folks ignore this text like the plague, because if you use this standard, here they're dealing with a less than clear passage. It just says test everything. Well, what am I testing for? Okay, this one tells you what you're testing for and what the results will be. So do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. If the prophecy isn't from God, the person is a false prophet. And the prophecy is a false prophecy. That's 1 John 4:1. They don't deal with this text. So they say test everything. And then what they add here, and this is their favorite text to look at, again, a less than clear text, 1 Corinthians 14:29. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent, for you all can prophesy one by one so that all may learn and be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Okay, so they say, well, look at here. See, it says to weigh what is said. What this text is saying, and I would challenge you, read good commentaries on this. What this text is saying to do is exactly what 1 John says to do. The weighing here in 1 Corinthians 14, let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what is said. The weighing is the testing, and the testing is to determine whether or not the source is from God. That's the case. You'll note this is a less than clear passage. So it has to be governed by the clearest text on the subject. The clearest text on the subject of testing prophecy is 1 John 4:1. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1 Corinthians 14 must be judged and understood in light of this text, the testing to see whether or not the source is from God. And as if charismatics applied this text, they would have no choice but to determine that the prophecy that we just heard from Jim Baker regarding terrorism hell and all the terrorist attacks in New York and the diseases that would be unleashed in New York City because of rats in 2023, they would have to determine not only was this a false prophecy, but because the source wasn't God, that means that Jim Baker is a false prophet. This is where you'll note then that Deuteronomy 18 is still in play. Deuteronomy 18 says this, "The prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name." So somebody who speaks and puts words in God's mouth that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, note the or there, it could be both of them or one or each of them, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that Yahweh has not spoken? Okay, let me come back here, okay? Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. This then works perfectly with Deuteronomy 18 because the question is, how do we know a word that Yahweh hasn't spoken? If Yahweh hasn't spoken it, we know the source isn't Yahweh, okay? When a prophet speaks in the name of Yahweh, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is the word that Yahweh has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, therefore you need not be afraid of him. In other words, he shall die. He's a false prophet. So, using this standard, Jim Baker prophesied in April of 2023 that New York City would be full of terrorism hell in 2023, that year, and have diseases coming from rats, lots and lots and lots of, but major disease outbreaks because of rats. It didn't take place, so we can then determine that's a word that Yahweh hasn't spoken. Where did Jim Baker get these words? Not from Yahweh. He spoke presumptuously. He's a false prophet. To add a little bit more to this, building off of something that Christ says in Matthew chapter 7, Christ says, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. They don't come to you in the name of Shiva and Vishnu. They come to you trying to appear like Christians, come to you invoking Jesus' name and saying they believe in Jesus, right? They come to you in sheep's clothing, inward they are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them how? By their fruits. If somebody gives a false prophecy, isn't that fruit? It is. I can't find a serious scholar, a single real biblical scholar who would say, no, giving a false prophecy isn't fruit at all. You can't make a judgment based upon that. You will recognize them by their fruits. Christ asks the question, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Nope, never seen that happen. How about figs from thistles? Nope, that never happens either. So every healthy tree does what? Bears good fruit. That means that every true prophet gives true prophecies. Only true prophecies. Because healthy trees bear good fruit. And watch where Jesus goes. A diseased tree bears bad fruit. So Jim Baker gave a prophecy that didn't come true. Is that good fruit or bad fruit? It's bad fruit. What does that make him? It makes him a diseased tree. Watch this. Jesus even goes further, and this is all in the context of false prophets. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot give false prophecies. A diseased tree cannot bear good fruit. So the reason why Jim Baker gave this prophecy and it didn't come true is because Jim Baker is a diseased tree. He can't bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. I would argue that's fruit. Now, that's the biblical standard. I've just laid it out for you, unapologetically so. And I would only add one more text to this, and that is one of the Ten Commandments, you know, the same list where we get, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not murder. From that same list comes this commandment. You shall not take or carry the name of Yahweh your God in vain. And shah here means vanity. In fact, shah is also the word used in Hebrew for false prophecy. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Carry it to emptiness. For Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So isn't this an example of taking God's name in vain? Yes, it is. It is absolutely an example of taking God's name in vain. Let me back this up. Listen to what he said. Okay, let's see here.
We're going to have, God said to me, there will be terrorism in America, and he called it a terrorism hell.
For 2023, not 2024. This isn't something in the future coming, because 2023 is past. He said, God told him it would be this year, 2023.
Is coming to America. Terrorists. New York City is going to have terrorism like it's never had before. And even in...
Like it's never had before. Is that how it went down in 2023?
New York. God said there's disease that's going to hit New York City. And some of it will come even from the rats.
That didn't take place. So you're starting to see the point here. He's spoken it presumptuously. He's a false prophet. And using the proper test, using sound biblical hermeneutics, letting the clearest passage govern, we can determine that Jim Baker is a false prophet. And according to Jesus' standard, he's a diseased tree, because a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot give false prophecy. Okay, see it? That's the standard. But is that the standard that charismatics use? Let's listen to Dr. Michael Brown. In his show that that aired on February 5th, 2024, Michael Brown, the name of it is called Don't Believe the Trump Prophets. Michael Brown talks about his standard regarding false prophets. And I want you to hear his standard, and then we'll add into it a little bit from the roundtable that took place between Sam Storms, Michael Brown, Jim Osman, and Justin Peters, because it'll show you definitively these guys do not abide by the true biblical standard when it comes to false prophets. Far from it. Listen to what Brown says here, though, in this episode of his Line of Fire.
You may understand prophecy to see it as the same as the Old Testament, where the prophets had to have a certain infallibility about them. Remember, your average Old Testament believer did not have the Bible or access to the books that were part of the Bible at that time. They were not indwelt by the Holy Spirit the way we are. So
note here, he's trying to create a second standard. There's an Old Testament standard that was really rigorous and required infallibility, and then there's a New Testament standard that doesn't require infallibility. That's what he's saying without saying it. The issue, again, is that Christ specifically says that a healthy tree, and this is in the context of false prophets, a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. A diseased tree cannot bear good fruit. Jesus doesn't say, well, sometimes a healthy tree will bear bad fruit, and sometimes a diseased tree will bear good fruit. That's not what Jesus says. And no, I'm going to trust Christ on this. This is in the context of prophecy and people claiming to be prophets. So already Michael Brown's standard is different. He's trying to create a wedge between the Old Testament standard and the New Testament standard. The reason being is because Michael Brown has to get rid of Deuteronomy 18. He has to get rid of this in order to make room for the false prophecies that are rampant in the charismatic movement, and do so in a way that doesn't knock them out of the conversation, and people say, well, that means that they're a false prophet. He's trying very hard to get rid of that, and the reason being is because he himself has given false prophecies, just like Joshua Lewis has given false prophecies himself. And openly admitted it on his own Remnant Radio program. So note here, this is obfuscation. This is one of the reasons why we refer to Michael Brown as the doctor of obfuscation, because this is ignoring the New Testament standard, not the Old Testament standard, the New Testament standard for testing prophecy. And again, the New Testament standard requires you, according to the clearest text, to determine whether the person is speaking from God. You have to figure out the source. So coming back, here we go.
If the prophet said something, their only way to really test was, okay, from what I know of the law of Moses, does it contradict that? Does it tell us to worship other gods? Otherwise, you just judge, does it come to pass or not? And if it comes to pass and says follow the gods, then it's just a test, don't follow it. But if it comes to pass and says follow the true God, then you believe it's a true prophecy. And in many cases, these were prophets leading the nation. So the fate of the nation.
So know what he's doing here. He's spinning a narrative around the Old Testament standards that isn't actually taught in Scripture. Remember, the prophets led a nation, so they had to be accurate. They had to be 100%. This was absolutely required. Says no biblical text anywhere. His narrative is designed to basically say, well, times are different now, and so we can have loosey-goosey, not-so-accurate prophecy and still have somebody be a true prophet. That's what he's doing. But the narrative he's spinning here, it's not found in the biblical text at all. We continue.
It depended on them hearing God and obeying God and doing what was right through the prophets. And if what they say doesn't come to pass, then don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. There was even a death penalty for those who spoke presumptuously, which is...
Right. Like Jim Baker just did. He spoke presumptuously. That was not God speaking. We have determined, using the biblical standard, that the Holy Spirit was not the source of Jim Baker's prophecy regarding terrorism hell in 2023 in New York City.
It's not just making an innocent mistake. You know, you're presumptuously means you're saying, go follow other gods. You're just speaking out of your own heart and mind. And you have whole...
Which is exactly what Jim Baker did. That's why I'm using his false prophecy to kind of demonstrate this.
Passages like Jeremiah 23, beginning verse 9, Ezekiel 13, and other passages in the Old Testament where the false prophets were severely rebuked for misleading the nation. And they led him into adultery. They led him into morality. They led him into idolatry. They confirmed the people in their sins.
Right, which is what today's false prophets do too.
And they put a wet blanket on the hot fires of repentance. As the true prophets were preaching repentance, they stifled it. Now, many of you say, well, it's the same today. If someone says the Lord gave this word, then if it's wrong, they're metaphorically stoned. You don't kill them, but you excommunicate them, or you exclude them, or you brand them false prophets. Now, I understand where that few points...
No, he's talking fast here. And you brand them as false prophets, but I understand where there were a few. They were, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Again, the New Testament standard, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out in the world. If the source of the prophecy isn't God, the person speaking it according to the New Testament standard is a false prophet. Full stop. Again, Jesus says that diseased trees bear bad fruit, and a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a diseased tree cannot bear good fruit. That's Jesus' standard for prophecy in the New Testament, infallibility. So, yeah, you'll note here his standard is subpar. It is not biblical. For all of his allusions to, well, the scripture says to test, he's ignoring the clearest text in order to allow for loosey-goosey false prophecies.
It's coming from.
Now, let me back this up. Listen again to what he's saying.
We're preaching repentance. They stifled it. Now, many of you say, well, it's the same today. If someone says the Lord gave this word, then if it's wrong, they're metaphorically stoned. You don't kill them, but you excommunicate them, or you exclude them, or you brand them false prophets. Now, I understand where that few points coming from, and I respect it. In other words, these are people who take the gift of prophecy very seriously, and they say it's just like the Old Testament, and you charismatics who say there's room for error, that you're dishonoring the Spirit. I understand that, and I respect that view. It's not my own view, but I respect it.
But your own view isn't the biblical view. Your own view actually ignores what we're supposed to test for. Huh.
These passages that I just read in terms of testing everything and judging everything indicate to me that in the New Testament...
Now, the text he was referring to, the two texts he was referring to, were 1 Thessalonians 5, do not despise prophecy, test everything, but it doesn't say what to test for, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what is said. Again, very unclear, but these two texts have to be interpreted by the clearest passage, 1 John 4:1, to test to see whether they are from God. they're all the same thing. So what he's doing here is he's taking two texts that are unclear and shoehorning in, eisegeting in his own loosey-goosey standard to get rid of the actual New Testament standard, which is still infallibility.
We're in a different era. All of us are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and therefore can discern based on that, right? 1 John 2, the anointing dwells in you and you don't need anyone to teach you in terms of just the basic who God is and how to follow him.
1 John 2 isn't about testing for true or false prophecy.
The anointing's in us. And then we have access to the Word of God, so we can test by the full revelation of Scripture.
Yes, absolutely we should.
Test by the Holy Spirit living within us. But because anyone can potentially prophesy, Paul says, I wish all of you would prophesy. Acts 2, the outpouring of the Spirit in the last days is on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. So because anyone can potentially prophesy, that it's possible that people speak and there's a mixture, in which case it has to be discerned. That's why you test it. That's why.
No, that's not why you test. So what he's saying, there could be a mixture. The person could be speaking partly what God said and partly their own flesh, and as a result of it, you have to test it. Again, the biblical standard is you have to test to see whether it's from God. If they fail the test, they're a false prophet. That's New Testament standard. And a diseased tree cannot bear good fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. That's Jesus' standard regarding prophets in the New Testament. We continue.
You test words and say, we believe God is speaking, but there's some error mixed in with that. Or we hear what these two or three are saying. Now discern together what God's saying.
So we think that God is speaking through you, but there's some error mixed into it. Jesus said, healthy tree bears good fruit. The diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. You see the problem here? He refuses to abide by the biblical standard. The biblical standard in both the Old and the New Testament, both of them, is infallibility. Because if somebody is speaking from their own spirit, or speaking presumptuously, or through a demonic spirit, they are a false prophet. And he will not bear anybody saying, oh, that person's a false prophet. And this shows up like in spades in the roundtable discussion that you need to see this. It's available on American Gospel TV. We'll put a link down below. If you don't have a subscription, it's worth it. The monthly subscription is worth it for the resources you get at AGTV. But just for this 4-hour-long roundtable, y'all need to watch this. Because, I mean, talk about obfuscation. So I'm going to play for you just a couple of snippets. First one showing up at about an hour and 6 minutes in, where they're talking, the topic is, you got Osmond and Justin Peters talking about how charismatics, through their false prophecies, are putting words in God's mouth. And the obfuscation that Sam Storms engages in is just rank. It is absolutely duplicitous. You can tell it's designed on purpose to blur proper distinctions for the purpose of protecting false prophets. Listen to how this portion of it goes down, and then I'll fast forward just a little bit in a minute here.
Let me ask you a question here. You talk about certain charismatics who put words in God's mouth because they believe they've heard from the Lord.
Yes, correct. That's what the scripture talks about, one who speaks presumptuously, right? When a prophet speaks in the name of Yahweh, if the word doesn't come to pass or come true, that is a word that Yahweh has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Ezekiel 13 also seems to come to mind here. Ezekiel 13, which I think is just a beautiful passage that deals with this whole topic. Regarding false prophets, the word that Yahweh came to me, send a man prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are prophesying and saying to those who prophesy from their own hearts, hear the word of Yahweh. Okay? Right. So Osmond and Peters have called the question. You all in your false prophecies are putting words in God's mouth. Watch what Sam Storms does here. It's absolutely inexcusable.
So if we were to open up the text of Scripture, this is God's word. We're all in agreement, are we not? And we were...
This is a category error. This is a rank category error on his part.
To turn to Revelation chapter 20. There's the objective, black and white, inspired, inerrant, infallible word of God right there. And I asked Michael Brown to tell me what God is saying. I know exactly what he would say.
That's a weird way to talk about a text. What God has said in the Scripture.
And I would say, Michael, you're wrong. You're misreading God's word.
Premillennial versus amillennial.
You're putting words in his mouth. We could do the same thing on issues of Calvinism and Arminianism. I don't understand why it's so hard to understand how certain individuals who believe that God speaks today, I know you don't believe that because you wrote a book on it, but that they might misconstrue or misunderstand it. And yet we have the...
Notice what he said. How you can condemn somebody who has misconstrued what God said or misunderstood it. That's their explanation. Let me back this up. I want you to hear it again. It is unbelievable.
I don't understand why it's so hard to understand how certain individuals who believe that God speaks today, I know you don't believe that because you wrote a book on it, but that they might misconstrue or misunderstand it. And yet we have...
So their explanation for, you know, Jim Baker get wrong here? He's not a false prophet. He just misunderstood what God said. Really? So this isn't an example of false prophecy that I just played for you from Jim Baker. This is an example of him misunderstanding what God said. And if you don't believe me, let me show you just a little bit later on in this same portion. You're going to hear them basically make the same argument. Watch where this goes.
I'm not making a claim about something that the way that you're reading what is written, that's different than you saying that you're getting extra biblical revelation. You're saying God is speaking to you something that is not at all written in Scripture, because there's no passage you can turn to that says Susie Jones is going to be healed of a stomach illness. Mm-hmm. So you're claiming a word from God that God is speaking to you, telling you something that's outside of Scripture.
Right. Osmond comes back to the proper category.
I would say that's putting words in God's mouth.
The question
unless Susie Jones is really there and has a stomach ailment and actually gets healed.
Yeah, that happens.
Yes, it does.
I mean, it could happen. And also Susie Jones could say, you know what? I felt ill this morning on the way to church. I don't feel ill now that I'm at church. That's happened to me 100 times.
In other words,
happened once.
A person can misunderstand and misinterpret what they thought God was speaking.
I think that's the...
So again, it's not that the false prophets are false prophets. They've misunderstood what the Holy Spirit said.
Point. In other words, if we could misinterpret the written word, could we not misinterpret a word from
that's
the Spirit?
My point.
In other words, is it that... Yes, we must be very careful.
This isn't the biblical standard. These men are defending the defenseless. It's indefensible what they are defending. People speaking in the name of God, taking God's name in vain, legitimately, by the actual standard. They are carrying God's name into emptiness and into false prophecy. Again, let me show you just what this particular word means. Shah, right? In fact, I got to make this big enough to see because older eyes... Okay, you shall not carry the name of Yahweh your God into Shah, emptiness, nothingness, vanity, and also emptiness of speech, of false or empty prophecy. Every single charismatic who has put words in God's mouth that God has not given them to speak, it is not that they misheard or misinterpreted the Holy Spirit, they have broken this command, they have spoken presumptuously, and they have spoken words from their own heart, or worse, a demonic source, and they don't meet the New Testament standard that Christ gave us, that every healthy tree bears good fruit and the diseased tree bears bad fruit, and a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. A true prophet of God cannot give a false prophecy. Full stop. So what is their explanation? Their explanation is, well, they misunderstood. They misheard God. And that's the same standard that the guys at Remnant Radio apply, because they learned it from Storms and they learned it from Michael Brown. But that's not the biblical standard. The New Testament standard is still infallibility. So hopefully you found this to be helpful. If so, all the information on how you can share the video is down below in the description. And until next time, may God richly bless you in the grace and mercy won by Jesus Christ and his vicarious death on the cross for all of your sins. Amen.
So nice to see that you've made it to the end. Before you inevitably click on another video to continue binging our glorious content, you should know about some of our other offerings. First off, some of you may know that our pirate captain is also the pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church out in Oslo, Minnesota. The editor that I totally don't have locked in my basement produces audio and video versions of Kongsvinger sermons and Sunday schools weekly. So go check out kongsvingerchurch.org to see all of our offerings. Now, to address some of the frequently asked questions we get in the comments. One, the Bible and video editing software we use are named and linked in the description down below. Two, if you wish to donate to us directly so that we can keep the lights on, go check out www.piratechristian.com and hit the crew tab. We don't promise miraculous healings or a double increase in your finances, but what we do promise is more quality discernment from our studio into your ear holes. And three, how do you tie up with boxing gloves? Okay, who's the wiseacre who put this in here?